So I mentioned we're continuing today in John chapter 10. A highly accelerated rate of preaching, I hope to cover three words today. And then mentioned in the Friday email, those of you who get it, Connie and I will be on vacation for the next couple of weeks. And looks like Chris will be up here both days. It's been a while since he's gotten to preach, so he's going to handle the next 2 weeks. So pray for Chris. He's also doing the Senior Saints for me, which I thought was very gracious of him. So let's go to John chapter 10 and just read the first part of it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Amen. So I've spoken to you sometimes about the sort of odd and often misunderstood Christian discipline of meditation. We often say, well, we should meditate in the Scriptures. And if we try to do that, most of us would admit that we really don't know what that means. I was thinking about weddings today, because some of the recent brides are here. And at the weddings, you know, there's almost always a reception after, and there's almost always dancing going on, and I don't participate in that. But were I to do that, say get up for the electric slide or something when all the people are heading to the dance floor, you would see a man looking like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, maybe you've seen that look. Sometimes I'm up here and probably give you that look. I have no idea what I'm doing. But anyway, that's how many Christians are. When I say, let's meditate on God's Word. I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, one, two, three, meditate. And I've told you then that some years ago I had the privilege of hearing Don Whitney. And Don wrote several excellent, in my opinion, books on spiritual disciplines. And he was talking about this meditation, and he used an example that I've told you about. Many of you will remember this. Some have not heard it, maybe, perhaps. But it was one that so struck me, it has always stayed with me. I was trying to remember, I think it's at least 20 years ago that I heard him doing this, saying this, and it's just struck with me. He said, here's how I meditate on Psalm 23. And I just take that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, and I think about every word of it. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 I thought that was amazing. And I found that so helpful. And so this week, I was looking at taking the next big chunk. You know, we sort of took a big paragraph or so of John 10 last week. I was looking at taking another big chunk and moving forward. But I just kept getting caught up in Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You know, there are 7 I am sayings in the Gospel of John. It's one of the famous things about John. There's 7 signs or miracles, and there's 7 I am statements. But of all of those 7, all 7, and we've been through a few of them, we'll get to a few more, but of all 7, none are better known and more dearly cherished by Christian people than I am the good shepherd. And so I thought before we move on and try to take the rest of John chapter 10, which Lord willing we'll do in a couple of weeks, I wanted to just stop and spend some time thinking about just 3 of those words. We've talked about the I am, what Jesus means by that, what a lot of people get in the crowd that what he means by that, but just the good shepherd. And I want to take them in reverse order and think about how Jesus is a shepherd, and that he is the good shepherd, and that he is the good shepherd. So just a few thoughts about each of those things. First of all, he is the good shepherd. What does that mean? Among other things, it certainly means that the Lord stands in a certain relationship to his people. And one of the ways that that relationship can be characterized is as a shepherd. There are other ways, Savior, certainly, Lord. You know, we talk about the Lord Jesus. And we could go through a number of titles. We talk about his offices, the prophet, priest, and king. And Jesus is certainly each of those things, and each one is vital and important. But here he says, I am the good shepherd. And so, also, in relation to all those other titles and positions, Jesus is a shepherd of his sheep. And he takes pride in that. I remember a preacher I used to hear years ago, used to talk about God's love affair with shepherds. You know, when God called Moses, he was tending the flocks of Jethro. When God called David, he was out tending his father's flocks. God seemed to have a thing for shepherds, which most people didn't. This was not a highly regarded profession. You know, you didn't really just, man, I hope my son grows up to be a shepherd. You know, nobody really thought that, but sometimes if it was in the family, you would become that, but God was interested in that. And we see in Ezekiel, God is pleased to say that he will be the shepherd of his people, he himself. And now here's Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. What does he mean by he's the shepherd? Well, I think at least these few things. One, which he highlights in this passage, I know my sheep and they know me. There's a relationship between shepherd and sheep. You know, now shepherds use sheepdogs. You've all seen sheepdogs herding sheep. And you've maybe even seen videos of shepherds out on ATVs, you know, driving around their sheep and whatever. It's become very sophisticated. Well, it didn't used to be that way, and in most of the Middle East it still isn't. Shepherds walk before their sheep, and their sheep follow them. They put them in a sheepfold at night, and often mixed with other shepherds' sheep. In the morning, they call their sheep, and they respond and come to them. That's the imagery that everyone would understand. Everyone would know, and Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. They know my voice. We spoke about that last week. So they hear the voice of their Lord, and they respond, and they come, and they follow. So he knows his sheep, and he calls his sheep as the good shepherd. Secondly, the shepherd provides for his sheep. Provides for them. He talks about that here also, doesn't he? That they'll have good pasture. They'll go in and come out and find good pasture. In Ezekiel 34, he talks about them laying down. That's when a sheep feels safe and secure. Now again, I don't know all that much about sheep, just what I've read. I used to see them sometimes. Used to walk by a farm, and there were sheep on this particular farm. Now it's all houses in Level Green. But I saw the sheep, and they'd usually be standing around, particularly when someone was coming by, like deer, of course, when they hear a noise. But when they lay down, it means they feel safe and secure, cared for, provided for. So he provides the good food for them, the food of his word. He provides the comfortable place for them where they know they're safe in the love of God, where they can rest and lie down. He provides. Thirdly, he protects. He protects his flock. He talks about the hireling, that the wolf comes and the hireling runs away. But the good shepherd doesn't. He protects his flock. And the Lord Jesus protects his flock. He protects us as his sheep, guards us against enemies without and within. And continues to provide us with his truth and the standards of truth so that we can know right from wrong, that we can know just from unjust, that we can know good from bad, that we can know truth from falsehood. He protects his flock. And finally, he leads his flock. We sing sometimes, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. He does lead his flock. We want to follow closely after Christ. It's the goal of us as a congregation. It's the goal of us as a denomination. It's the goal of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all its manifestations to follow closely after our Savior, to follow where he leads, because he leads to the good pasture where he can provide and protect and know and be known. So he's the good shepherd. He also says he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. As opposed to what? Well, there's an obvious thing. Bad shepherds. That's what Ezekiel is all about. Ezekiel 34. The shepherds, you've not been doing your job. In fact, you've been abusing the sheep that I entrusted to your care. You're supposed to be caring for the sheep, and you're abusing the sheep and just feeding yourselves. Those were bad shepherds. In this very passage, Jesus talks about the bad shepherds, those who are thieves and robbers, those who come to steal and kill and destroy, and hirelings who just run away at the first hint of danger. He said, I'm none of those things. I'm the good shepherd, the one that God promised, the one that God prophesied about through Ezekiel, one that everyone should have been waiting for and should be recognizing, and his sheep do, because they hear his voice and follow, like the blind man. Remember, this story shouldn't have that chapter division. It talks about healing this man, then going and seeking and finding him after the Pharisees threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus finds him, tells him who he is, and he falls down and worships him. And then Jesus launches into this discussion. He's just done what he's talking about. He sought, found, called a sheep to his flock. So he's the good shepherd as opposed to bad shepherd. He's also the good shepherd as opposed to false shepherds. Talks about those who have the name but don't really have the authority from God. They've entered by some other way. And we talked about that last week, so I won't make much of that point, but there are those, you know, who have come into the church, that have come into pulpits, that have come into seminaries, that have not entered by the door, that have not come through Jesus Christ, who do not have a saving faith in Jesus Christ, and they are imposters. He's the good shepherd, the good opposed to bad, the true as opposed to false. But then, also, I want just to think about that word good. We've talked about this before, too, I know, but it bears repeating, I think. We use good in so many ways. We often don't think about what we really mean by it. You know, we'd say, this is a good chair. Now, you might not think it's a good chair. It's kind of ugly chair, I think. Someone mentioned that a few weeks ago, and I was hurt. But no, it's but what would make it a good chair? Well, I've sat in that chair, and it didn't collapse under my considerable weight. That makes it a good chair. it doesn't rock. Right? Maybe there are rocking chairs, but you want a rocking chair to rock, but you don't want other chairs to rock. This chair doesn't rock, so that makes it a good chair. So there's a number of things that you expect or want or look for in a chair, and it's got those. Now, I could tell you about my grand dog. I would say that Piper is a good dog. Now, that doesn't mean that she supports my weight or that she doesn't rock. It doesn't mean any of the same things as a good chair. So there's some other standards of what being a good dog is. And you get the point. You know, you're always sort of a little ahead of me, and some of you are already nodding. Yeah, we get it. Move on. Yeah, that there are certain things that you want, certain qualities that you want in something, and that's what makes it a good something. You buy a sweater and you find that one sleeve is much shorter than the other. That's not a good sweater. He wants the sleeves to match. And you say, that's a bad sweater. A good sweater would have sleeves that match. So you have these standards. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it means I meet every expectation of a shepherd. Anything you could possibly expect from a shepherd, I've got the qualifications and I do the duty. So he seeks, he calls, he leads, he protects, he provides everything you could want in a shepherd. That's what makes him the good shepherd. The good shepherd. It's everything. Matthew Henry, the Puritan Bible commentator, once said, there is nothing you could desire in a Savior that you do not find in Jesus. And just to paraphrase him, I'd say, there is nothing you could desire in a shepherd that you don't find in Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And finally, he is the good shepherd. He appoints under-shepherds, you know, and people to do this work within his church, but he is the good shepherd. None of you will stand before God and say, I belong here because I used to listen to Jack preach and stayed awake most of the time. You know, God's not going to say, oh, blessed are you, enter into the glory of... No. The only basis that you can ever stand before God is to say, I stand before you in the Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus. He says, enter into the joy of your master. He is the good shepherd because it's the only way that we can be right with God, that we can have peace with God. Our trusting fully and relying upon him fully is that no one else can call us as sheep, no one else can lead us as sheep, no one else can provide that we have salvation with the Father and the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, remember the Corinthians seem to be a kind of a sophisticated bunch, and some of them seem to have been saying, you know, this Paul fellow, he doesn't speak as eloquently as many of the philosophers, you know, the stand-up philosophers down on Mars Hill and so on. He doesn't speak as powerfully as some of these people. He doesn't show us wisdom as some of the philosophers do. And Paul answers that objection in both his epistles to the Corinthians, but powerfully, I think, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he says, I resolved to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I resolved to know nothing among you than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Far too many of us find it far too easy to slip into a Jesus and kind of salvation. You know, well, yeah, I'm saved by Jesus, and what I do, what I think, who I associate with, and something. We always want to add something. You know, here's how much we do, and Jesus makes up the rest. And so it's sort of Jesus and churches will give you all kinds of Jesus and. Yep, yeah, believe it. Believe in the Lord Jesus and, you know, contribute. Or and show up at this group or that group. Or and be a part of an accountability group. Or and have a prayer partner. You have to do this. This is part of the package. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians and to us, there is no package. We're saved by Jesus Christ and Him alone. So he says, I resolve to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the good shepherd, the only good shepherd, the only way of salvation, the only way of peace with God, the only way to have your sins forgiven, the only way to be clothed in absolute pure righteousness and stand before God boldly. Say, I belong here because of Him, the Good Shepherd. So praise God. I think these are three amazing and powerful words. I hope they thrill your soul, because they're the only words that can save your soul. Let's pray. But Father, how we thank you for the wonderful ministry of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for these words of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for having them recorded for us, that we may drink in the beauty and power of them. Lord, may we learn to meditate on this magnificent, precious truth, and there find rest for our souls. Oh, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.